gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, starting at the end of chapter 15 and then verses in chapter 16. Praise and glory to God. Te whaka moe miti te kororia ki te atua. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this at first, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you will see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Te ronga pai tēnā i ātea ka aiti. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whak moe miti tea kororia atua. Thank you.
So, welcome Andrew. Andrew Shepherd has preached to us before, but might be worthwhile, Andrew, just reminding people about your walk as introduction to your sermon.
Kia ora everyone. My name's Andrew. I have preached here this morning. Not this morning. I mean, I am going to preach this morning. I have preached here before. But I am relatively new. I have moved up to Kapiti Coast 18 months ago. My family and I live up at Ngāti Awa at the moment, which some of you will be familiar with. It's really lovely to be here on Pentecost with you and to celebrate the giving of the Spirit and what that means for us. I'm here at late notice. Mark rang me or texted me on Friday night and said, I'm really sick. Can you prepare a sermon? So I'm here giving a sermon at late notice. But let's open our hearts to hear what God has to say to us this morning and be encouraged by that. When we think about the Spirit, probably the first thing that comes to my mind is not court proceedings. In these passages, they are deeply laden with this imagery about being in a court. The Spirit of Truth, or the Advocate. The language here is around being in a courtroom. And so in chapter 15, the imagery here is of the Spirit testifying about Jesus in verse 26. And then the following verse speaks about us testifying with the Advocate, the Spirit standing alongside us, encouraging us in our witnessing. Interesting here is the use of the word witnesses. The word here is plural. We are witnesses. There is a diversity of witnesses. Think about court cases when a court case is being prepared. If one is running your court case and one has only one key witness, then this is problematic because one realizes that the defense only needs to get at this defense witness and the case becomes unraveled. And yet here there is a multiplicity of voices, a multiplicity of languages, cultures, and personalities that give witness to the truth of Jesus. There is not uniformity, homogeneity, or sameness, such as the story of the Tower of Babel, which was came up within that dramatic reading, where all speak the same language and therefore say the same thing. Instead, Pentecost is about the multiplicity and diversity of voices. And these voices that testify are not conflicting, but they are harmonizing. They are voices that, as they add to one another, add rich and depth and layering to the testimony that has been given. You might want to think here about examples in our everyday life. How many of you have been in employment situations where you're employing somebody and you ask for character references? And if the character references come through and they kind of feel like the two people have sat beside each other and copied each other, this sort of sends alarm bells. You think, this is kind of just too similar. But when those voices add richness because they say the same things but in different ways, you are more likely to recognize the authenticity or the truth behind this character. Or think about eulogies at funerals. I find funerals deeply moving experiences, particularly when one thinks you know the person, but then you turn up and you hear a range of eulogies about that person, and their character of that person suddenly becomes much richer and more fully orbed for the different testimonies that are given. And so the case is true here of the work of the Spirit. There is a diversity of voices and testimonies that are being given. And what is this testimony that is being offered? Truth has become a very unpopular phrase in our contemporary world. We don't speak a lot about truth. We're more likely to say, what is true for you is true for you, and what is true for me is true for me. And as long as we're tolerant, that's fine. That can be your truth and this can be my truth. And I think it's important that we recognize the importance of differing perspectives, acknowledge that none of us ever see things in their entirety, and hence the need for multiple witnesses. And yet, I still think it's critical that we understand a concept and affirm the concept of truth. If we deny the existence of truth, we end up like situations as we've witnessed during the last year, where people will tell you, well, COVID doesn't really exist. It's all just a big hoax. It's just a big conspiracy. Or we end up hearing stories that, well, the US election was really, it wasn't won by Biden, it was won by Trump. And so we end up with this idea that truths get replaced by myth-truths, or what we would know them in the Christian tradition as lies, deception. Also, to deny the existence of truth is to allow existing untruths to continue and therefore to exercise their power. And one of the concerns around the language of truth is a concern that truth always operates as a power dynamic, and therefore we don't want to listen to people speak about truth because it's a way of oppressing us. But actually, untruths also are oppressive. And thinking back here to courtrooms, you might want to think about Truth and Reconciliation Commissions, or the Treaty of Waitangi Tribunal in New Zealand, or more recently, the Christchurch mosque shooting, and how those court proceedings, those legal proceedings, are critical, and the element of truth is critical in them, because those truths that are spoken in those contexts expose reality. They speak truth. And in those speaking truth, they make us very uncomfortable. And herein lies one of the paradoxes again, therefore, about Pentecost, because often we speak of the Spirit as the comforter. And the Spirit is the comforter, but the Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth at times makes us and the world very uncomfortable. The testimony that the Spirit will offer, what is this testimony? What is this revealing, the exposing to the world that the Spirit brings at Pentecost? John tells us that the Spirit brings truth about Jesus. But this Jesus is not a good moral teacher or a self-help guru. Rather, the testimony about Jesus written here in the message, the vision, these are verses that are really struggled with by translators. And so perhaps the best verse here is, or translation of this, comes from the Message version. And chapter 16, verses 8 to 11. John, writing here about the Spirit, says, "When the Spirit comes, he will expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit will show them that their refusal to believe in Jesus is their basic sin, that righteousness comes from God above, where I am with the Father, and therefore is out of sight and out of their control, and that judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted." The message, therefore, here is that a new world has dawned. As dramatically presented in that presentation, Pentecost is the vindication. Pentecost is the judgment of God that in Jesus Christ things have been reconciled, and that therefore the ruler of this world has met his match and has been condemned. What does this mean for us today? Two messages to take away. The first is we are being formed into a witnessing community. We are not a bland, homogenous grouping of people, but rather a community of rich diversity of language, culture, and personality. And our task is to together be a testifying voice with a multitude of voices, recognizing that those voices are supported and empowered by our advocate, the language here again from a courtroom, from our person who stands alongside us and encourages us to speak. And the second thing, therefore, to take away is, what is it that we speak? And what we speak is that Jesus sits at God's right hand, that judgment has been given, a new order has begun. And so I encourage you, as you head into this week, to think, what is your testimony? How, in your words and in your actions, will you testify to the new order that has begun in your life and in this world? And maybe then to wrap up the journey that we've been on in the last 10 days with regard to your kingdom comes, who is the advocate preparing for you to share this testimony with? Who this week ahead of you? Where are the opportunities where the advocate will be alongside you, encouraging you to speak forth this truth, pronounce the good news of Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead and is ruler of this world? Amen.